Welcome. This is Winning at Life. Yes, it's the Daily Wrap, live financial talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about some mistakes in retirement planning that could derail the fun times you're supposed to have in that last phase of life. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can also give us a call or send us a text via the Winning at Life app. Lululemon stock is absolutely rocking the market. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the numbers segment if you want to get ready for that. See the exact same charts and graphs we're going to be looking at in that segment. Also, winningatlife.com or the Winning at Life app. For those of you who love Winning at Life, Gregory, you like the show, right? Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. And this one of your favorite, probably at least in your top five.
Top two.
Good, good. Well, good news for you and the guy listening here. You like to fly Southwest Airlines as well? Well, then you'll benefit. iHeartRadio podcasts are now available on all Southwest Airlines in-flight entertainment experience portals, whatever they're calling it these days. So we're in Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. You can listen to our podcast via the iHeartRadio app on any Southwest flight, along with your favorite music or any one of the other massive library of podcasts they have out there. I mean, there are other podcasts. You could listen to something besides this every once in a while. But you could be 35,000 feet in the air above the continent, above the clouds, above the birds, above everything, and listen to us without having to purchase Wi-Fi. See, there's the technological advancements, but then we take that one step further without having to purchase Wi-Fi. We are there for you. We're with you. We follow you around. We're trying to stay in your pocket at all times. On that little phone, wherever you're going, we're going to follow you. But we got a new deal with Southwest Airlines. So congrats, Gregory. Our show is now on Southwest flights for free. Something else I learned about our listeners, and not just, you know, new little avenues we're giving them. I learned a little bit about their hobbies. Gregory, I got this research here on the people that listen to podcasts by genre. And when you break it down, like let's go to some other genre. Let's start with the people over in like the religion podcast. If you have a religious theme podcast, the top products these people like to buy above and beyond other genres is pet food, vitamins, household cleaners, personal soap and bath needs, cookies, ice cream cones. See how that's like hygiene and, you know, taking care of little puppy dogs and ice cream cones and cookies. Well, it's good stuff, right? Well, let's go over to the business genre profile and see what the top five purchasing categories of our podcast listening audience is. And it's, I don't know if I'm really proud of this or sort of disappointed. Number one thing the business podcast listener buys, liquor. For the religious people, it's pet food. How sweet is that? You're feeding little puppies and kitty cats. What are we doing? Knocking about back shots of bourbon. Number two, Gregory, wine. But that's good. That's right up our alley. You're doing a wine, wisdom, and food event in 2 days. So we're kind of nailing that. Number three would be household cleaners. Number four is personal soap, hygiene, bath needs. Number five, beer. Gregory, three out of the top five in the purchasing categories of business podcast listeners are alcoholic. It's all the only three alcoholic categories made it in the top five.
Well, they know how to unwind and relax.
Apparently so. Either they're really stressed out or they're having a real good time out there. But look, even if you go to the comedy genre, they have baby foods, number one, then tea, then pet food, then beer, and then other carbonated beverages, I guess Dr. Peppers and whatnot. They only have one of the alcohols, and that's in the comedy genre. We are the most favorable toward alcohol purchases. I don't know if you're necessarily drinking or just spending more money on it. I thought that was a trip, Gregory. Liquor, number one, wine, number two, beer, number five. I learned something about our audience. Is that you? I'm talking to you, guy listening. Is that you? We know who you are. And then on the other side of the coin, hey, if you're trying to sell some booze in this town, you might want to start here. Liquor, beer, or wine. Our audience is your gold mine. You need to be shoveling through this like your buddy on Gold Rush. What's his name, Ryan or something? Wait, isn't his name Parker?
Parker.
Yeah, that's right, Parker. Yeah, this is where you need to be digging. So Do we know anyone that's selling rum these days or got a bourbon distillery?
No, but we should.
Yeah. So if you know someone who's
trying
to
us.
Yeah.
If you're a distiller, info@gregoryricks.com.
Well, I'll go the next step.
Let's talk.
I'll go out there because I'm so dedicated to my job. I'll even test the product for you, Gregory. Make sure it's okay for the listener. And in high volumes or in low volumes, we'll test it all out. So that's what we do for you. All right. Got that out the way?
Well, one thing I wanted to talk about that's on my mind and has been, you know, we've been talking about college debt. $1.5 trillion. We have, what, 8 million people in the U.S. that owe college debt that are over age 50. Now, of course, most, you know, the biggest block are those under 30. They're a huge number as that goes. And then, you know, we've talked about, gosh, how do we unwind that? It's going back to what I believe it's unsustainable. Once again, this process that's going on is borrowing money. So how, if we can't stop it, can't unwind it, how do we categorize it or create caps? As far as maybe you can't borrow money or you can't borrow much. So one of them, we can start with the absolute worst degree to get. There was a study done by Bankrate, examined 162 majors, and it was from the U.S. Census Bureau American Community Survey.
Oh, we hadn't done this in years. I love these lists.
So we're just going to start with the absolute worst.
Okay.
Miscellaneous fine arts. Average. That's number 162.
You're going fine arts, but you couldn't even narrow it down.
No, it's miscellaneous fine arts. Yeah. Average income, $40,855.
$40,000.
Unemployment rate for them is 9.1%. Of those that have that degree, 13% have higher level degrees. Well, yeah, higher degree holders. Next to last, runner up of next to last is composition and speech. Just over 44K, 4.9% unemployment. How about this?
Well, unemployment at least fell in half. I can't believe it was over 9% for the miscellaneous fine arts. That's like the unemployment rate for teenagers right now is it less than that? No, it's at 12.8%. It's about there though. Here it is. If you have less than a high school diploma, your unemployment rate right now is 5.7%. If you have a bachelor's degree in miscellaneous fine arts, it's 9.1%. Is that right?
Yeah. Typically, what's going on there in the what they found is their degree isn't specialized. So many fine art majors don't use their degree in their professional life at all. They use their soft skills to find other employment. They have the degree.
Right.
And they're moving from there. The at number 160 is clinical psychology.
Really?
Just over 51,000 a year, 4.8% unemployment, and 74% of those are getting higher level education. And you could kind of see that in clinical psychology, but it's kind of, if you get that degree, why are you stopping there? You've got to go to the next.
All right. Now that makes more sense.
Level.
That makes more sense.
In that case.
Cool stuff.
How are we doing on time?
Plenty of time. 3 minutes.
Okay. So now I'm going to move to, okay, we're kind of in those, like, gosh, you shouldn't get to borrow much money. You have high unemployment rate and you're only going to make so much. Well, cosmetology services and culinary arts are at 42K, 4.7% unemployment, and only 8% get higher level education.
That 9.1% unemployment is unbelievable.
Yeah. So you get out of school, it's hard to get work, and right. you're making the least of everybody, it seems, on the list. So when we kind of talk about that, is kind of, yeah, it's going to be kind of hard for you to borrow money. Sorry. Well, what about the top 10? Number 10.
Can I guess? Oh, no. I just remembered we did this list like 3-4 years ago, and I'm sure it's changed quite a bit since then. But I think like petrochemical engineering was number one. And then there was like pharmacy benefit manager somewhere in there that was just mind blowing.
Number 10 okay. is finance.
Hey, that's you.
Yeah. And it's in the business field. Average income, $100,448.
Wow.
Unemployment rate's 2.7%.
Even better.
30% get higher degree levels. Number 9.
I'm really impressed with that. No, heck, number 10's good. It's only going to get better.
Number 9, civil engineer.
There you go.
Engineering is $96,405, 2.2% unemployment.
A little bit of a drop there.
Yeah. Higher degree, 36%. Number 8, we're coming into mechanical engineering. Once again, engineer field. 101,590. Oh, I don't have the unemployment rate. It's low. I missed that one when I was going through writing this down. Okay, number 7, molecular biology.
Cool.
So it's biology and life science field. $105,849 average, 2.1% unemployment. So it tells you the mechanical one was somewhere between, you know, it was low like that, 2.1, 2.2. So molecular biology, 2.1% unemployment, 64% go for the higher degree level.
Oh, that's tough.
Number 6, pharmacy, medical and health field.
There we go.
$103,350, 1.8% unemployment. 57% of them get more education.
All right, we'll do the top 5 next. But listen, if you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, give us a call. We'll be happy to give you a listen. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Lips pressed against the Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap. We do this every evening at 7 o'clock, give you an hour of live financial talk, updating on the news of the day, if it's relevant, if it can help you win, make you some money. It is live talk, so you can join the conversation. You have some thoughts on the jobs that can make you some money when you finish college, enable you to pay off that money that you probably overborrowed. Give us a call, 504-260-0995. We'll talk about 401k, Social Security, retirement accounts, IRAs, Roths. We drink that Kool-Aid as well. Hey, we've even moved up to the Roth wine. That's what our listeners like to drink is Roth.
That's what we're learning.
Wine. That actually is a label, Roth wine. Okay, I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, James Parker.
That's not your show notes. That's not, yeah.
Oh, my notes are right here. I'll scribble down.
Sorry about that.
Okay. So what we were talking about is the 5 worst jobs or
degree programs
to follow, which probably shouldn't get you any loans out of the 162 they surveyed.
I am still floored that the worst degree program had a 9.1% unemployment rate.
Yeah.
Your unemployment rate is worse getting that degree than it is dropping out of high school.
I think that should have something to do with how much you can borrow. You probably can get you a few grand or something like that to help you along. But this top 10, you should be able to pay that money back. But that, once again, I don't think it should be unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still think there should be a cap to that as well, so you don't get carried away. And this shouldn't be to go buy a Mercedes and live in a upper scale apartment and take vacations, especially to Europe or whatever. Heck, you're supposed to live like a pauper and and not have much debt, you know, what would be the preference? You shouldn't have any debt when you finish school with that. There's this thing called part-time jobs and such, and working during the summers. And sometimes you might have to take a semester off. I delayed starting college. It was called the Army. I spent a year doing stuff there, then started the next year in college. That made a difference because what I was able to do is get money to go to school so I could then work part time.
But you missed out on all the fun that a lot of us had to go through where you're dealing with college debt in your late 20s and trying to pay that off so you can qualify for a house. You just missed all that fun.
Yeah, I know. Have regrets. Not really. Okay, so we had ran through number 10 was finance, number 9, civil engineer, number 8, mechanical engineer, number 7, molecular biology, number 6, pharmacy, which brings us to the top 5. And this kind of surprised me a little bit, the top 5. Number 5, applied mathematics. Oh, and that brings you to what, mathematics and statistics school over there. $105,679 a year average.
Wow.
Unemployment, 2%.
Wow. So, applied math?
Yeah.
Okay.
Applied math.
I guess just because not a whole lot of people could get that degree even if they wanted to. But who can't get a miscellaneous fine arts degree, right?
51% of them go for the higher education beyond that.
That makes it tough, too.
Well, health and medical prep programs.
Is that number 4?
That's number 4. So it's in the medical health sciences services. $130,308 average. 2.3% unemployment. 78% are going on to med school up here. You know,
all right, that's what
that would totally make sense there. 2.3% unemployment. $130,000 you can afford.
You almost think that pay. Salary should be a little higher, but I don't know. I guess it counts all the people in middle of nowhere.
Number 3, care to guess?
It's not the pharmacy benefit guys, is it?
Nuclear engineer. Of course, engineering school.
Okay.
Nuclear. Seriously. 1.8% unemployment. $108,591.
I thought that would be higher too. I know one nuclear engineer, but I don't know her anymore. She has to move. Every time she gets a new job, she has to go to a different plant. That's like the downside. There's not a nuclear plant anywhere you are, so you have to the job moves you around.
48% get higher education. Number 2. Zoology.
Shut up.
Yeah. Biology and life sciences.
Okay.
$111,889. Yeah, it's probably moving on to vet school, you know.
Okay.
68% get higher education.
Wow.
Yeah. 1.4% unemployment.
Man, I was thinking like zookeeper or game warden or something. Yeah, we're talking veterinarians. Duh. Okay.
I think that's the lowest unemployment on the list.
What was it?
1.4%.
Well, there's a shortage of veterinarians, and something else I've heard about veterinarians.
Shortage something.
As of late, it's overwhelmingly female.
Six-figure income. Okay, your last chance to guess one of them right. Number 1 on the survey.
We haven't done
most likely to succeed education.
Petrochemical engineering.
No.
It's not, and not oil-related in some way?
No.
Well, now I look like an idiot.
It's actually in the business school.
Oh, look at you get all smirky over there. Go ahead. What is it?
Actuarial science. Okay. Yeah, 2.3% unemployment, 22% get higher education, $108,000 average income.
So the guys that figure out when I'm about to die.
Yeah, talking about working some math.
I kind of figured that'd be rolled into the applied math fellas.
That's once again, it's in that. So you look at really what are we looking at here as the degrees is basically engineering school, business school, medical.
Yes.
It comes down to, and zoology, it's in the medical field too. It's just other than human.
It's medical. Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's really what in pharmacy, that's what it comes down to. You're either in business school, engineering, or medical related. You make some money and you have high chance success, and we would allow the higher caps on them for the borrowing, knowing that they're going to have success. They should pay it off fast. We wouldn't let them be unlimited. And then the highest income. So we saw that,
it was actuarial fellows, wasn't it?
Zoology had the lowest unemployment. Zoology's average income was 111,000, but the number one income, of course, was the medical field, health and medical prep programs, which that was the highest amount to go on to get the secondary or to get higher education was like, what, 78% mm-hmm. there. So they could, they'd probably get to allowed the most on the cap as far as how much you could borrow.
Well, you know what my answer is? Stop letting the government take care of it. Let different companies take care of it. And if they don't get paid back enough from the money they lend to the fine arts guy,
well, you're
going
to have to, you're going to have to, well, is the government doing it? I don't recall how all that works now, but they're backing it. FHA backs reverse mortgages. They can provide the backing there, but it shouldn't be a free for all on borrowing money. Just like, nothing against fine arts, miscellaneous fine arts. You're not going to get to borrow much if we were kind of judging by that because you can't pay it back. So it also, and everybody should look at this before you borrow. You're going to have to read the list, study it, and we're going to quiz you before we can do the loan papers.
Love it.
You know, something like that, that you kind of have an understanding of what you're trying to do. And then you get upset. Well, that's all you're going to loan me? Yeah. Hey, did you look at the list we gave you to review? You're not going to make much money.
Well, and it's also, look, it's all right, son. You don't need to go to school for 4 years and get 128 credits so you can play tambourine in a reggae
band. And besides
band.
Counseling to borrow money, reverse mortgage, you have to go through counseling. Well, if you're going to college and borrowing money, you should go through counseling. You got to live like a pauper. Can't be extravagant trips. Ride a bicycle to Subway to get your lunch,
right.
You know, stuff like that. You know, you have to have a mindset to avoid debt.
Well,
and it's going to increase the success for everybody. But what we have now is what Leisha Nugent Freeland, our real estate guru of the Total Wealth Authority, shared with us. College debt is causing the younger generation to delay home buying by 8 years now. And Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo has told us as well that it is affecting loans for homes.
Maybe I can make this a positive and have this list in front of my kids.
A positive.
Yeah. And say, listen, you pick any one of these top 10, we'll go borrow as much money as it possibly takes. I will go find some creditor somewhere and I'll take it out against my name if I have to. But we'll do whatever we have to do to get you through school, whatever school you want to go to, if you're picking one of these.
Yeah, they're just, young people aren't wired enough to deal with finance and stuff to understand the repercussions long-term of excessive borrowing at a young age when it's not even correlated to the degree you're attempting to get. And what about those that don't finish? Disaster.
504-260-0995, or you give us a call or text via the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can download the Winning at Life app. Yeah, it's just that easy. Winning at Life, free download. You can email us, text us, call us. A lot of resources there, podcasts. If we're preempted, we're going to be preempted some coming up in coming months. It happens on the weeknight show.
So you can just utilize the app to connect to us and stream the show. A lot of different avenues to do that. So that helps you there. We're on Facebook Live. Friend us at Facebook. You can do so. Women Winning at Live, Gregory Ricks and Associates, me. Let's see. What else do we have there? Gregory Ricks and Associates, Women Winning at Live. Oh, the Winning at Live show. Friend us there. The thing is, you're going to get a notification of what's upcoming on the show. You'll be notified when we're going live because we're live on Facebook. Modern television is now, you can watch, stream us as we're doing the show. Periscope's another resource. The app can do that. Of course, you can do us the old-fashioned way is pull out your smartphone and just call us, 504-260-0995. But friend us over there on Facebook, Twitter, yeah, and other things.
We watch the traffic, and what's getting more and more popular is the YouTube channel. People are using the app to get to the YouTube channel and watch videos on whatever topic they specifically want to hear right now, which is fine. We'll satiate that.
Yep.
Did you want to do a little more on student loan debt, or you want to hit the numbers?
I think we cleaned that up and pretty good in the first two segments. It's just wanted to give out more information so young people listening, the parents listening, the grandparents listening, to kind of give some guidance. Now, the students aren't always wanting to hear it, but, you know, it just helped to drop them some hints there and help give them direction. And darn sure, do your best to avoid the debt.
All right.
The number.
Welcome to the number segment on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world today while you were out winning at life. Follow along on the exact same charts and graphs, winningatlife.com, Winning at Life app. Mixed day in the markets. Dow was down. And if you look at the charts, they don't even look like they were on the same planet today, because the Dow was down most of the day. S&P was up most of the day, but it ended up Dow down about 0.2%. S&P up 0.2%. NASDAQ had a good old time. Is this a record? It didn't say my little rundown here, but that number looks like a record. 7,924. It was up more than a quarter of a point today. And the Russell was up a quarter of a point today. So really a lot more winning than losing than the indices. But the big one, the Dow, went just a little bit south on us.
Oh, well, not bad there. You're going to have mixed days there.
Oh, and no, that NASDAQ number is not the high.
And also U.S. Treasuries, the 10-year ones, that is 2.939. So we had just a little bit more uptick in the yield today as well. And it's probably working towards getting used to being above the 3% area. It's not there yet, but I think we're headed back that way because there's going to be a quarter point raise, I believe, at the next Fed meeting, especially that there's a podium.
That's 2 weeks from tomorrow?
Yeah, it's on back end of the month. Yeah.
Okay.
Crude oil, kind of holding steady, $67.58 a barrel. Brent crude, $77.41.
It's an even bigger spread.
It's kind of holding though in those ranges that we're used to seeing, trading a little bit wider range. Gold hanging in there at $1,200.90 an ounce, and silver still hanging in at $14.20. I know if you're just tuning in, hadn't listened to the numbers in a while. Yeah, it's lower than what it used to be, but it's kind of found it. Yeah. It kind of, we took a dive and we're resting right here for a while. So we'll see how that works for you down the road.
All right. The short sheet's an absolute madhouse because our biggest winner of the day, just throw a guess out. Don't look, just guess, Gregory. I don't know if you looked at,
I've not looked at the numbers at the end of the day.
It's Tesla. Tesla's our big winner for the day. And it was up big, Gregory. It was up 8.5% in one day. So I don't know what's going on there. It gained $22 per share. It's now sitting, it closed at $285.50.
Still in correction territory.
Is it still in bear territory? Because it bared out at the end of last
week.
I think, it is still in bear territory. Just doing my quick math, because it was above 320. That's where it'd have to be for it to be a 20% drop now. Is that right?
Well, I'm not excited. You know, we had a caller last week was like, that one and a couple others. Is this place to buy? No, not in my opinion.
Did I thought we were all supposed to be scared from the ween thing.
Something was positive. I didn't read any business news on Tesla. I thought we've covered it enough. I don't really want to spend a lot of time there, but obviously there's something where they're trying to get their act together over there and build some cars.
That's fine, because I want to tell a couple other stories real quick. Just as a snapshot of something we're watching, Nike's back up to $82 a share, which is about the range it was before the whole controversy where it was down for a week, and now it's basically back where it was. But my focus today is on Lululemon, stock ticker LULU, Lulu. If you listen to the show, we've been talking about this stock for a couple of years now, and you may have been wondering why. What's on your mind? What's your big deal with this stock? Well, it finally took off like we thought it would, or we were speculating it would. And Lululemon Athletica is the official name of the company. It is up 90% year to date, 144% over the past 4 months. Lulu stock has been breathtaking over the last year. And the latest jump up here, because they had another amazing earnings report. In the second quarter sales, same store sales grew by 10%, which is about normal for some industries, but for retail, that's blistering. That's breaking the sound barrier. That's absolutely unheard of in brick and mortar retail these days for the most part. But a big chunk of their growth, 48% increase in direct to consumer sales, which we've learned is Wall Street parlance for we sold it over a computer or a phone or something like that, not out of a store. So they're killing it and they're growing, and I don't know if they're going to keep growing. This could be a market top. I'm not telling you to buy it. I'm not telling you to sell it. I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm just filling out the storyline that we've been watching for about a year and a half. And you know, it was fun watching it take off. But the question a year ago was this yoga thing going to be a fad? Is this company going to keep growing? And now we know. Yoga's not that much of a fad, and it did keep growing.
Its following just keeps increasing. I was looking at where the most recent buy opportunity was, and it was in August out there. It does give you a few, you know, if I kind of look back, you also had a sell signal that was came back, let's see, where is that? Back in mid-April as well, kind of created that. Then it turned out we've got, it went sideways from June through August and took a dip right beginning of August, which was also at a buying opportunity when you kind of look back at it. It's kind of something. How do you judge that? Because we've had it was sideways for a couple months and then started this lower low, lower high progression. And then you'd had to take a leap right there at beginning of August to buy there. You know, it's always decisions that you have to make. Some are going to work, some aren't. You want to get most right and you want to minimize the downside of decisions, because that helps the math work better for you to win and make money with stocks as one of your vehicles that you should be using to get towards retirement. Gregor, does it mean you have to? Because I've got a lot of clients also that just prefer not to have money in that world. It just troubles them.
It seems like it'd be fun to play with, but if I have my life's work on the line, I would try and minimize my exposure to this madness. But man, it sure is fun to watch. And if you want to walk into a different planet, Gregory, it feels like you're going to the first space colony on Mars. I went and bought some workout clothes for Miss Parker today.
At Lulu?
No, not at Lulu.
Okay.
It was over by your office. And it's a different world. They have different terms. They have different sizes. I had to study before I even knew what was going on. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
See, did you tell that on there that you went shopping for some athletic clothes?
Yeah, well, we finished that conversation on the break.
So this is what you were thinking. Yeah, you're going to look good. Baby, you're going to look good. Is that what you were thinking as you were doing it?
No, I can't think like that when I'm shopping for clothes because I'd come home with stuff she would never wear. I'm not a stripper.
Like, you can wear it at the house? I went the whole wrong way with that.
This was workout clothes.
Questioning.
And it's almost impossible to screw up. But, James, can you go buy me a pair of workout shorts? Yes.
I was giving James, look, my take. I'm Gregory Ricks. This is Winning at Life. That's James Parker, co-host. I was giving my take on shopping. And guys, for the ladies, you got to be careful with that. Because if you're wanting to win, here's my take. Don't buy purses for them. They're not going to lie. They don't have the same taste. And look, James, if you were buying a man purse, it wouldn't look like anything they would buy. And I couldn't even go down that road, but I don't buy clothes for my wife. I would not ever attempt to buy a purse. And the thing that I have bought is I've bought her some athletic wear and, some workout shoes and yeah, Lululemon is where I bought it. They don't give it away there. That's for sure. They're proud of it. Their earnings show that. And they're growing because sales are increasing, but I did not do that by myself. You know, we have triplets and one of them, Emily, accompanied me to help with that. And it was a huge success. I would never venture out there and try that by myself because that's what we want. We want them to be happy and excited.
Well, some of us like to be a little more adventurous and live on the wild side and go buy clothes for their wives by themselves without help sometimes. You know, some people bungee jump.
Well, you want, what I'm just giving is success guidance so you can win. So you've got to get another family member, guys, to help you with that. But on the other end, Stacy does a good job for me on gifts and such from my end. And we did the birthday thing for Stacy at the office. Her birthday was Saturday. And I'd kind of told her, okay, what kind of cake do you like? Because the staff was wanting to know what cake to get. So I asked what her first choice. She said, one of those cakes with the fruit on the outside. I said, really? A fruity cake? You know, I don't like those. So what's your second choice? She had to think. She says, really? You don't want me to have a fruity cake? I said, probably not. I don't, you know. What's your second choice? She said, a lemon bundt cake. I said, okay, well, I might could be okay with that, but you don't want like chocolate with some white cake, kind of like the wedding cake inside, almond flavored cake with chocolate, fudge icing. You know, what about what I was giving her was my take on it.
Yeah, your preference.
And then guess what she got today? What would be your guess based on that conversation?
You probably went across the street to Nothing Bundt Cake and got the lemon.
No, I turned it over to Sophie, our senior accountant on staff, and she got her the fruity cake that she wanted.
Oh, you got the fruity one after all.
Yeah, look, if you're going to ask,
I thought you
have to do misdirection. She's still going to get what she wants.
That's nice.
It was misdirection. She was like so happy. She even took a picture of the slice.
Oh, I love the misdirection move. Well done. Well done.
So once again, another win. Little help there.
To the phones, but this looks kind of familiar. Trevor, Fort Lauderdale, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. Gregory, is this the guy that's like the preacher that was going to move?
I don't know. Let's find. I don't think it was Fort Lauderdale, though.
Trevor, are you the preacher guy that was going to move with your wife?
Yeah, so we...
There you go.
Yes, sorry, this is Trevor Newborn, yes. So, you know, I currently work as a high school teacher, but I'm also licensed in the ARP church, so we're also in ministry.
I'm sorry to go on a tangent here. Did you say the ARP church?
Yes, Associate Reformed Presbyterian. It's very similar to the PCA church. It's a...
Good enough. They're very Keep going.
Yeah. Well, so the last time we talked, I almost think it was maybe a year ago, we found a home near where we live over in Coral Springs, which is near Fort Lauderdale. And the question that I have for you guys is, you know, I don't know the wisdom behind purchasing a home if you are certain that you would be in an area for a long enough time, like 5 years. But we found a house in Coral Springs for $335. We looked at the numbers. It's about a quarter of our take-home pay. Would it be, you know, as we want to open up a house for ourselves to be a little bit bigger than our 1-1, compared to rent versus buying a home, my question is, when does it make sense to buy the house if all of our debts are paid off and we can buy a home? Does it make sense to buy a house even if it means we're not sure of the next 5 years versus the next two?
If you're not able to do what you want to do financially, I would wait. You need to save up some money to do that. You would probably like higher income. Are you thinking about moving again? Are you going to be satisfied with that house? Is your income going to move up possibly in the next few years to get what you want? I would also, knowing that you're buying a starter home is more of what we're talking about to get to the next, is this a home that you can be able to sell? And are you buying it at a price that you can at least sell it for that price? One of the reasons to buy a home is have control. When you're renting, you don't have control except for that rental agreement, period. And you're not building equity in rental, which you can in a home over time. There's some tax advantages to purchasing the home, depending upon your tax situation, and your CPA or tax accountant could help you help you and be a guide to some advantages there. But I wouldn't necessarily be quick to go out there and buy if it wasn't the right time for you. And I can't tell you for your situation yes or no there, but there is a reason to wait.
Well, my wife and I, are all of our loans are paid off. Our student loans are paid off. Our credit cards, which we only have one credit card for, you know, we pay off each month to month. We can afford, and we've saved up for a deposit, you know, 25% down. And our bank, SunTrust, has offered us a better loan offer than I think another mortgage interest rate. But my question, though, comes back to, is it better for us to rent for 3 or 4 years versus making the purchase and staying at a home for 3 or 4 years? I just feel like for us, it's very hard for us to say, in 5 years, I know I'm going to stay in South Florida. And, you know, I guess that's where we don't know whether we should stay renting and just rent a bigger space or purchasing, but then selling after 5 or 10 years.
So you're thinking about, if you were to buy a house, you might be there for 5 to 10 years?
I'm thinking at least up to 5 years. I mean, for sure, I think that's where we would stay here in South Florida. But
here's the other thing, because we're running short on time, but here's the thing. Are you renting for lower than what you can pay for the house, or is it the opposite way? You're buying, there's costs of buying. It's the lawnmower, it's the curtains, it's some repairs that you're going to have to do.
Security alarm every month.
You know, there's things that start add up. Now, when you go to sell the house, you're probably using a realtor when you're buying the mortgage, you might be buying points on the front end, on the back end of selling it. You've got to fix other stuff to get it sold. You're paying a realtor, so that's going to be several thousand dollars. So you've got to weigh in these other fees. Now, obviously, you've been saving money. Maybe the rental is the way to go, that, oh, we don't have to change and incur and do the moving and have all these fees and the landlord mows the grass. But you've saved up some money. Can you continue that? Are you going to be happy? And then it goes to, what's the level of rent compared to the home payment? And can you build some equity? So you kind of have to go through the math on it, Trevor. And hopefully that helps you to kind of process that.
Yeah. And you don't have to wait 18 months to give us the next update. I'm glad to hear from you again, Trevor. Good to get an update on your story. His last call was March of 2017.
Okay. Well, a little bit time hearing from him, but thank you for calling back in and updating us. Hey, if you need any help during the daytime hours, I'm financial advisor. I do give advice and here show more guidance at the office, more so advice. We'll help you find direction. We'll use our guided planning system, find out where you are on the path, where you're headed, help correlate to risk, multiple streams of income, tax diversity, build tax-free income. Office is 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com.
Your home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. Go there, check out our latest podcast, including Saturday's show. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.